engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring glad tidings to the lowly, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to announce a year of favor from the Lord and a day of vindication by our God, to comfort all who mourn, to place on those who mourn in Zion a diadem instead of ashes, to give them oil of gladness in place of mourning, a glorious mantle instead of a listless spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I shall want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. In verdant pastures he gives me repose. Beside restful waters he leads me. He refreshes my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Even though I walk in the dark valley, I fear no evil. For you are at my side with your rod and your staff that give me courage. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. You spread the table before me in the sight of my foes. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. Only goodness and kindness follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for years to come. The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, called the Rock. Simon, his name is changed, a name is changed in Scripture when a special mission is given. Peter is called to be the leader of the other apostles, the leader of the church. In what sense? Of course, Christ Jesus is the only Lord, Master, and head of the body, the church. Peter is leader by his confession. You look at the prayers of the liturgy for the Feast of St. Peter, and the opening prayer says that the Lord has built the church on Peter's confession of faith. The Pope is called the Vicar of Christ and the servant of the servants of God. Serving them in what way? Strengthening their faith, as Jesus told Peter to do in another passage. You must strengthen your brethren. By confessing me, the Vicar of Christ points to Christ. And you know, one of the reasons why our brothers and sisters in other Christian denominations sometimes do not understand our teaching in regard to the Pope is that some people have exaggerated it as if the man himself is somehow the center of the attention. It's Peter's confession of Christ that then makes Jesus, doesn't make him. Peter's confession of Christ is what Christ then bases his appointment of Peter on. You must strengthen your brethren, confessing me, proclaiming me to be the Messiah, the Son of the living God. John Paul II did this wondrously. He was a pope that so many of us saw for ourselves in this world, in this life. Became pope in 1978 and was called home to the Lord in 2005. The opening prayer referred to some of the key themes of his pontificate, actually referring to some of the names of his great encyclicals: Christ, the sole redeemer of the human race, Redemptor Hominis, and God who is rich in mercy, Dives in Misericordia. Mercy was a key theme that John Paul II wanted to proclaim to the world. He knew how much the world needed mercy, and he instituted the Feast of Divine Mercy the Sunday after Easter, the octave, the culmination of Easter Day. It's all about mercy, right? That's why Christ died and rose again. John Paul was the Pope of Life. One of the most important documents he issued among his many teachings is this one, called The Gospel of Life, Evangelium Vitae, issued in 1995. I got to work over in Rome at the Vatican under the pontificate of John Paul II for a few years, just shortly after this encyclical came out. This was issued in March of 95. I went over in 97 and worked in the office that was responsible for fostering the pro-life activities of the Church, the Pontifical Council for the Family, at that time under the leadership of Cardinal Lopez Trujillo. And we took this document that had just been issued and we promoted it heavily, as we still do at Priests for Life, calling the world, as John Paul II does in this document, to a great campaign on behalf of life. He makes it clear in this document that because life is the most fundamental of all our rights and is the condition for every other right, because the children in the womb are the most vulnerable human beings of all, because the crime of abortion, the act of violence which it is, not only occurs, which is bad enough, and occurs in such a way that nothing takes more human life, but in occurring is also by many governments declared to be a right rather than a crime, and finally also because this is an act of violence, would be bad enough if it were carried out by anybody, but it's carried out by members of the family, which is supposed to be the sanctuary of life, carried out indeed by the very people to whom that new life is entrusted to care for, protect, nourish, and raise. For all these reasons, John Paul II identifies the particularly grave and urgent nature of the problem of abortion. And none of those reasons has changed, none of that logic, not even the arithmetic, pointing to abortion as the number one cause of death, the number one act of violence in the world. None of those reasons has changed. The urgency with which John Paul II addressed the problem of abortion, again, read this document, The Gospel of Life, is just as real today. In fact, I would say it's even more today. Even more, as political parties like the Democrat Party in the United States and international agencies continue to run along the way of more and more unrestricted abortion. At the same time, the pro-life movement, taking great inspiration from St. John Paul II, has made tremendous progress, and in that we rejoice, and upon that progress we build and we continue to build. But John Paul II really can be considered the Pope of life. When Pope Francis canonized him, he also called him the Pope of the family. John Paul II knew that the defense of life and family were so urgent in our day, and he left us such a great body of teachings. The theology of the body, the teachings about human sexuality, and about the dignity of human life. Let's honor him by paying attention to these teachings, reading these documents. You can get this one at gospeloflife.org. That's one of our websites at Priests for Life. gospeloflife.org. We wrote a commentary and study guide on Evangelium Vitae. And all these other writings that he has left us, they are a way of proclaiming, whether it's liberating the unborn unjustly oppressed by abortion, or liberating by the proclamation of God's mercy those who are caught in the despair of having had an abortion or of any other sin, John Paul II indeed fulfilled not only what Christ said to Peter, appointing him to strengthen his brothers and sisters in the confession of who Christ is, but also what Isaiah said and what Jesus identified as the very purpose of his mission. We heard it in the first reading. To proclaim a year of favor from the Lord, to proclaim liberty to the captives, liberty to those captive to sin and despair. Rejoice, your Savior has come. Liberty to those defined in the law as non-persons, like the unborn are. Your Savior has come as well. John Paul II was a proclaimer of that freedom in the Lord that we are all called to receive. He did it faithfully, and now he is an example to the whole church. Thank you, Lord, for this Pope of life. May we continue to follow his example, study his teachings, and proclaim your kingdom, as he said, not to be afraid to welcome you, Lord God. When he said, do not be afraid, he didn't just mean that we should be free of the daily fears that afflict us in various ways. It was deeper than that. Do not be afraid to welcome the Redeemer. Welcome Christ. He's not going to take away your joy or your freedom. He's going to multiply it. He's going to lift you up, not cast you down. Don't be afraid. Welcome him fully. Follow him unreservedly. Proclaim him without apology. See in Christ the life and hope of the world. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.